So continuing on with the levels of relationship, these seven things. So we've talked commitment and faith and response. And now we come to a word called submission. And so the truth is, I need to be enlightened to the testimony of submission to one another. And so if I'm motivated by a revelation of love, that's going to cause my heart to be activated to do works that speak of my faith, empowered to do works that speak of my faith, which then is going to make me active in my relationship to respond to that other person, receive what they're being given, and give something of myself, a judgment of love in their direction, not to get what I have blessed. You know, when Abram tithed to Melchizedek, he didn't give 10% so that 90% would be blessed. He didn't keep anything. So he didn't give anything to get anything that he possessed blessed. He responded to what was being given with a gratuity, with a judgment of love, 10%. So to receive 100% of what he needed to be to become who God said he was, which ultimately was Abraham. Now, he didn't know that his name would be Abraham. He was wrestling and struggling, trying to be Abram, a father of a nation. But God had promised that he'd be the father of many nations, Abraham. And so that would require something heavenly coming. When my wife and I got married, we didn't know what we would become today after 42 and a half years. We're becoming more and more all the time the testimony of one flesh, who we're meant to be. This should be true of a leadership team. But the enemy's going to fashion weapons against it to destroy it. If you've had a leadership team destroyed, I say get back on the horse and ride again. God has a plan to put leadership teams together that are covenantal and a testimony of community. If you've been part of a church community and it's gone through a hiccup, it's gone through a split, a divide of some kind, get back on that horse and ride again. I promise you, God's way is a spiritual letter that's being written that is motivated for commitment, empowered to do works, and activated to respond to the testimony of being one household. And then that's going to enlighten them, give them a revelation of submission one to another. And so this is a testimony of not only our footsteps as one, but we have a shield of togetherness. In the Old Testament shadow of Deuteronomy 12, this was referred to as a heave offering. Now, the heave offering was the choicest piece of meat. It actually represented the hip of Jacob when he was touched by God in the wrestle that he wrestled. God was wrestling with him and wanting him to manifest for who he really was. He had to face his issues. I am Jacob. And God said, no, from now on, you're really Israel, prince with God, inheritor of God. But in that wrestle, he walked away with a limp in his hip. And so in the creation of the or a tabernacle community, there was an expression of an offering called a heave offering. And that heave offering was the choicest piece of meat, the piece of the hip. And it represented the place that God touches. It's the area that produces the future. And so in this area that God touches and actually turned an individual Jacob into a man named Israel, became a nation. The place that God touched transformed an individual into a corporate identity was not by the power of the flesh, it was by the power of the Spirit, and it was a testimony of submission one to another. So the heave offering is this choicest piece of meat, comes into the hands of the priest, they heave it up before the Lord, it comes back down, and the priest gets it. It's basically saying, I submit to you as unto the Lord. Not I submit to you as being the Lord. I submit to you as unto the Lord. Therefore, I'm receiving from you all that God is giving through you. I'm receiving from you all that God is giving through you to me. I'm giving to you all that God is giving to me for you. So it's a submission. It's a relationship. It has nothing to do with control. It has to do with release. It has to do with life-giving. And so submission is in this relationship. And then I also believe the Holy Spirit has anointed us to be a body that is awakened to give the contribution to one another. We have one mind. I'm dead without you. So who am I at the table? I believe this is called a fellowship level relationship. In the old covenant shadow of Deuteronomy 12, it's referred to as a vowed offering. Now the New Testament tells us we're not to make a vow. A vow is a hard, fast thing. This is what I say. But I do believe I do need to know what God says about me, not what I say about me for your sake, but what God says about me for your sake. Who am I according to the resurrection life of Christ? What do I contribute? What do I bring to the table? What do I bring to the relationship? What unique part of Christ am I for the sake of our table of fellowship? And what food do I bring? Like if you're going to have a big potluck or pot blessing meal, a celebration meal as a community, and you bring all those foods, and you might say, oh, I hope Betty's here today because she always makes that very good sweet potato casserole. Oh, I love that when she bakes that. It's got such awesome things in there. Oh, my. I hope Elizabeth comes because Elizabeth always makes that special stew. And man, I don't know what she puts in it, but that is awesome. Nobody makes that I even know of. It's like my mama used to make this gravy that was fantastic. She put a secret ingredient in it called coffee. Therefore, I like coffee even to this day. But she brought her specialty. You know, my wife, I know one of her specialties is, these chicken enchiladas. Oh, man, I hope she brings those chicken enchiladas or that special hamburger soup that she makes. Or, you know, what do they bring to contribute? Or I hope so-and-so brings that special rhubarb pie or that pecan pie. Well, everybody brings their specialty. You know, as human beings, everybody is a specialty. And if we come to the table, which is one table, we contribute. And so we need to be awakened to give the contribution to one another of who we are for the sake of us in the fellowship. And then if we are motivated in our commitment as a revelation of love, and we are activated then, or we're empowered to respond from our hearts to do works that speak of our faith toward one another, that activates us to respond to one another rightly, receiving what's being given, saying, I want all of you so that we can become us. And then we're enlightened to respond through submission, to have a testimony of relationship, of togetherness, that we're one shield. And now we are awakened to give our contribution. We're not asleep. I'm showing up. I'm being who I am for the sake of us. And then what that's going to do is going to draw us into the place of loving one another in a sense of agape love. What comes out of my mouth, what comes out of my life, what expression comes freely out of my life like bread and wine. I call it communion, come to union. I call it community, come to unity. It's not a place of doing something in the flesh for unity. It's a place of being empowered by the Spirit that causes flesh to express unity. And so this is a level of relationship, a sixth level of relationship where I'm drawn to love one another. We're drawn into that place of loving one another. And then the seventh one is we become impassioned to dedicate our lives to one purpose, where there's an awe of each other. So like my wife and I, we're dedicated to the purpose of our family, our marriage. Until death do we part. And so which means if one of us dies in the relationship, that would mean we part. So we don't want that to happen. So we're going to constantly stay in this place of fresh commitment, faith, response, submission, contribution, love, and dedication. And so this is going to take a partnership with the Holy Spirit so that we never have something in our relationship with one another that dies to one another, because it's until death do we part. Now, God's intention of that is that we overcome at all of these levels constantly, repeatedly, so that we never die until we physically die. And so we want to stay alive in the relationship. I believe God wants leadership teams that have a revelation of this. I actually think there needs to be a revelation of dedication at the very beginning of your commitment. We are here for the will of the Father. We are here for the future generations. We've talked about this in the covenant level of Malachi in an earlier session on generational leadership. But again, this is the one, and we're going to have to be impassioned to that place. But it starts with a revelation of love. And so now the enemy fashions weapons against these things. And so the destruction of a relationship happens through seven things. Our commitment will be shaken if we take an offense. An offense is always centered around a foundation of right and wrong or good and evil. You were evil to me. You were not good. You were wrong. I was right. That's the knowledge of the good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil will open the door for us to take an offense. Now, in modern societies, I mean, goodness, relationships are being bombarded and blown to smithereens because of offenses. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Now, believers, leaders, listen to me. We were not born to be right. We were not born to be wrong. We were born to be loved. Having been loved by God, we do right things. So there is a right and there is a wrong. But it's not about a knowledge of good and evil. It's not about a knowledge of right and wrong. It's about being a tree of life. It's about being a family tree of life. It's about being a family tree. Parents, children, children's children, children's children's children. It's about establishing something that is a family tree, foundation set, roots planted in Christ, life-giving. So there cannot be an open door or an opportunity for offense. Okay, you're going to be offended. So leaders, let's teach our people, you're going to be offended. The question is, will you take offense? Last night, well, actually this morning, I got up, I offended all my fingernails. They were starting to get a little long, and I thought they might offend me. And so I have a responsibility to care for them, and so I trimmed them all so they're not offensive. But they got offended, they just didn't take offense. They know that I'm thinking their best interest when I did that, and so all is well in my fingernail world. Okay, so this is true. Now, so offenses are centered around right and wrong. Offenses, when we get offended, it will make a judgment. We'll make a judgment in the natural. And judgments are based upon judgments of condemnation, judgments of you're wrong. There are good judgments, but a judgment that comes as a result of an offense is a judgment according to the flesh. It can be a judgment according to what is naturally true. It can be a judgment of something that is perceived to be naturally true. In other words, it could be true. But the question is it life to make this judgment? Does it inspire sacrifices of faith toward one another if I make this judgment? If I make a judgment according to the flesh, am I going to be able to do works that speak of my faith towards you? Or am I going to have a fear-based relationship? I'm going to be reluctant to make a sacrifice in your direction because I don't trust you. I have a fear-based connection because of natural sight. See, the opposite of faith is natural sight. And if I operate according to natural sight, I'll make a judgment according to the flesh. I'll make a judgment based on fear. And the opposite of fear is love. So we need perfect love to cast out all fear. So I need to maintain my relationships in a place where I never take an offense. I don't make judgments according to right and wrong. I make judgments according to love. And I recognize that we are a team. We are one together. I have a revelation. You love me. You picked me. I pick you. And now because I have a revelation that you love me, you picked me, we're in this thing together, then I'm going to do works that speak of my faith towards you. So sometimes I'm going to have to do works that are more powerful than my temptation to make a judgment according to the natural understanding right now. And so I have to move into that place. But the enemy is going to try to get us offended. He's going to fashion weapons against it. That's why earthly wisdom is not willing to yield. It's based on offenses. James chapter 3, it's earthly, it's natural, could be true, might just be perceived truth, but it's your truth. And then it's sensual, it gets into your emotions. You can't enter into this place now of where you can make right actions or right responses or right submission. You start getting into sensual senses. And then it even becomes demonic. External spirits get in agreement with your soul and give you a spiritual energy to your thoughts, your imagination, your reasoning, your emotions, your desire. And so you begin to create with external assistance, demonic assistance, and it destroys relationships. And so offenses will lead to judgments, and judgments will lead to defilement. Defilement is when I don't respond to the other person in the relationship anymore. I don't respond. I'm thinking individually. I'm thinking of myself. And so I'm defiled. I'm not responding to the expression of word and spirit that you give, I'm not responding to that thinking that if I respond to you and give you expressions of me, I'll receive all of you for the sake of us. I'm thinking, there's me, there's you. I'm starting to move in that direction of the destruction of this relationship. And so it began with an offense. It continued on. I made a judgment based on fear. I didn't judge according to love. I judged according to fear. And now I'm defiled. And so I'm living for myself instead of living for this relationship. And so I'm moving away from that place of true relationship. And so I don't want to take an offense, because if I take an offense, I'll make a judgment. I'll make a judgment according to the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, a judgment according to the flesh. And then if I make a judgment according to the flesh, it's going to be really hard for me to respond to you rightly, because I'm going to be thinking about you and me. I'm starting to live for myself. I'm dealing with my world as a leader or as a leadership team or a marriage or a church community, you name it. My world now is becoming about me. I'm here because of what I get instead of what I give. I'm in this marriage because of what I get instead of what I give. I'm in this leadership team because of what I get instead of what I give. And so it's all because I took an offense. Something offensive happened, which will happen, and I decided to take an offense when that happened. I left my first love. I left it because my first experience got confused with my first love, and now my experience changed in this relationship, so I made a judgment according to the second experience or this third experience instead of my first love. And I tried to think, well, why isn't it like it used to be? And so I made a judgment based on fear, and now I'm defiled. I'm starting to live for myself. And this is the route. This is the process to get a destruction of a relationship. And you don't want relationships destroyed. Now, remember, the enemy is going to try to destroy any relationship that's a God-ordained relationship. I know what I'm talking about. I've walked this. I'm walking this. I've got relationships in my life that I'm warring for. I've got relationships in my life that I warred for that others didn't war. And I believe this with all my heart. That's why I've written it in generational leadership. It's non-negotiable for me.